بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are continuing with our divine consistencies, السنن الإلهية. And today we're taking a look at juz number 7. And in it we find the ayah in which Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تسألوا عن أشياء إن تبد لكم تسؤكم وإن تسألوا عنها حين ينزل القرآن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah says, O you who have believed, do not ask about things which if they're shown to you will distress you. But if you ask about them while the Qur'an is being revealed, they will be shown to you. Allah has pardoned that which is past, and Allah is the all-forgiving and the all-forbearing. Then Allah continues and says, قَدْ سَأَلَهَا قَوْمٌ مِّن قَبْلِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَصْبَحُوا بِهَا كَافِرِينَ. People ask such questions before you, and then they became disbelievers. So this is how it is demonstrating that this is a sunnah ilahiyah, or you could say a qa'ida. This is a consistency. This is a constant. This is a law, if you want to put it that way. Something that has happened before, it's going to happen again, and this is something that we are perpetually told, that if you go into asking all kinds of inappropriate questions, it could lead you to disbelief. This is the result. Now, the question, obviously, is, well, what kind of questions? Because we know that the Qur'an encourages questions. In fact, Allah says, وَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask questions to the specialists if you don't know. Ask the people who know the best, who are specialists at something, when you don't know. So we're supposed to ask questions. We're supposed to be curious. There's nothing wrong with learning your deen. So where exactly do we draw the line? So this particular ayah, which is in Surah Ma'idah, ayah number 101, is interpreted in a number of different ways. So we're going to take a look at four different possible interpretations, inshallah ta'ala. Number one is, Allah is saying, don't ask questions when you don't even have the intention to apply it. Okay? What does that mean? In other words, Allah says what? Oh, you have believed, don't ask about things which, if they're shown to you, will distress you. In other words, you're asking me about a certain fatwa. You have zero intention of applying it if it doesn't go your way. So once you get the answer, it's just going to distress you. It's not actually going to benefit you. What's a good example of this? Let's say you know somebody, he has a job that, he's like, I'm pretty sure it's haram, let me go ask the sheikh. You as a friend should say, whoa, hold on, before you go talk to the sheikh, let's say the sheikh says 100% it's haram. He gives you all the evidence from Quran and Sunnah, it's crystal clear, bright as day, clear as day, this is haram. Are you going to change your career? Are you actually going to drop your job? Are you actually going to change your career path? And if the guy's like, no, then don't. Don't ask. Why? What are you doing? This happens all the time. Young people, they're in a relationship. Hey man, I got this girlfriend. And is it really haram? Yes. All the evidence. Haram. Before you even ask the question, before you go to the sheikh, you should be asking yourself the question. If he tells me that it's clearly haram, am I actually going to listen? Am I actually going to cut ties with this person? Will I actually break up with this person? And if the answer is no, then what's the point of asking? When you ask, what you're doing is you're establishing the evidence against yourself, and also you're belittling your deen. Because you're telling yourself, I'm interested based on information. I'm treating Islam just like cute and fun facts. A little factoid. Oh, by the way, this is haram. You should not treat your deen this way. By belittling your Islam this way, what's going to end up happening? You're going to lose your Islam. So that's why the very next ayah, ayah number 105, Allah says, قَدْ سَأَلَ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَبْلِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَصْبَحُوا بِهَا كَافِرِينَ. A people in the past, before you, they asked such questions. They did the same thing, and that made them become disbelievers. Why? Because they were slowly but surely, increasingly belittling their faith. So do not do this. An example of this in the life of the Prophet ﷺ was, the Prophet ﷺ was giving a lecture to a large amount of people. He was giving an address, and he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدَ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجِّ فَحُجُّ. He said, O people, Allah has prescribed for you and obliged for you Hajj, so make Hajj. And so some person in the crowd stands up or responds and yells back and says, أَكُلَّ عَامٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ every year? Prophet ﷺ didn't respond. The guy says it again, أَكُلَّ عَامٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَكُلَّ عَامٍ every year يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So the Prophet ﷺ finally sees that this guy is being very persistent and says, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ وَلَمَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. He said in response, if I said yes, it would be obligatory, but you wouldn't be able to do it anyway. So what are you doing? Why are you asking a question? Should I go for Hajj every year? Can you go for Hajj every year? Could you possibly go for Hajj every year? Why would you even ask such a question? Is this just for fun? There doesn't seem to be a sense of taqwa. Like, oh my God, he might say no, okay, then I'm good. But he might say yes, then I have to. Have I arranged my life in such a way yet? Why am I even asking if I'm not ready for the full range of the response? So We need to fear Allah Ta'ala with regards to our questions and actually show up. When we ask questions, when we're researching an issue, sincerely, we have to show up sincere enough to say, I am ready for the full range of the response and I will go wherever the truth leads. Wherever Allah Ta'ala takes me, that's what I'm willing to do. Point number two. Another possibility of this ayah, another way of looking at it is, don't ask questions out of order. Now, this could be an interpretation that only applies to the Sahaba. What do I mean? This might be a bit confusing. Well, we know that the Prophet ﷺ was a prophet for 23 years and that he was with the Sahaba and incrementally they were learning their deen. Now, it's possible that ayat come down about a certain subject. They're supposed to memorize it, learn it, apply it, study it, ask questions about it. That's what we're on right now. Then, maybe later, Allah Ta'ala will send more ayat, focus on that. Then Allah will send more ayat, focus on that. If you start asking questions about a bunch of random things, it could be that, well, that was going to show up later. Those subjects were going to be dealt with later, when you guys are ready for it, in a particular order, according to Allah's divine wisdom. And you're messing up the order. And so the best, I think, analogy for this is, I want you to imagine a teacher teaching a bunch of students, and he knows, he's been doing this for many years, he knows we have to start with chapter one, and only ask questions, please, about chapter one, make sure you get it right, so then we'll move on to two, then we'll move on to three. There's one kid in class, he keeps on raising his hands, I flipped to chapter 25, I flipped to chapter 42, I flipped over here, I went over there, and I saw this, and I saw that. He starts asking all sorts of random questions, and now all the students are getting confused. Are we going to study that? What does that mean? I never heard of that word before, and now their heads are all over the place. And it's like, look man, can we please do things in order, right? You don't want to mess things up like that. And so it could be that this ayah was specific to the Sahaba, saying, try to focus on what is being given to you at, one thing at a time, and don't jump all over the place to create confusion. How could this apply to us? Well, what I would say is, try to remember your priorities. Try to study issues that are of top priority to you and deal with smaller matters much later, right? Basically, have a correct order in your approach, inshallah ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ جُرْمًا مَنْ سَأَلَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يُحَرَّمَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَحُرِّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَجْلِ مَسْأَلَتِهِ. The greatest sin among the Muslims is one who asks about a thing which had not been forbidden for the Muslims, and it was then forbidden for them because this person persistently kept asking about it. In other words, this came faster than it should have. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, that seems to be the way this is understood. A third possibility is what? Asking trivial questions. Very obvious, Allah ta'ala is saying, don't ask a bunch of trivial questions. Obviously, when we ask questions to clarify how we should live, how we can be guided, how we can be forgiven, how we can go to paradise, these things make sense. Asking for evidence to see that truly indeed the Prophet ﷺ is a prophet, so we have more certainty, no problem there. But when you start asking about trivia just for fun, just to test, just out of curiosity, this is bad. We know that Anas ibn Malik, he narrates that once the Prophet ﷺ was delivering a very powerful sermon, and the Sahaba, you know, they began to weep. The Prophet was talking about judgment day and then even gone to heaven and hell. And even at one point said, you know, I've seen things that if you were to see them, you would laugh very little and weep a lot. So then the Sahaba started crying because of this. And فَقَامَ عُمَرْ فَقَالَ رَضِينَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. So Umar got up and said, we are satisfied with Allah as our Lord and with Islam as our deen and with Muhammad as our messenger, as our prophet. And so there's a very emotional moment where people are really being impacted by this powerful sermon about what's happening, what's going to happen on Judgment Day and afterlife. فَقَامَ ذَاكَ الرَّجُلُ فَقَالَ مَنْ أَبِي. So then one guy gets up and says, O Messenger of Allah, what's my dad's name? So anyway, there's different commentary on this particular hadith. Was this guy just asking out of curiosity, or was it because somebody had told him, are you really sure that your father was this guy? Maybe it was somebody else. The point is that it was not an issue that anybody could do anything about. It was a nonsense question. And so the Prophet did respond and said, Abuka fulan, your father is so-and-so. And then Allah revealed this ayah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashiya in tubda lakum tasu'kum. Don't ask about these basically trivial matters. Kathratu su'al, it is something that is bad. The final point, I know it's going long, but the final fourth point, inshallah ta'ala, about this particular ayah, is that don't ask questions just for the sake of arguing. Don't ask questions just for the sake of arguing. The Prophet says, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُدًى كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُتُوا الْجَدَلِ. That no people go astray after having been guided, but they resort to arguing. MashaAllah, Allah has given you lots of ilm. Allah Ta'ala has given that guy lots of ilm. We are learning and studying as a community. And now we know what we should do, what we should stay away from, the do's and don'ts, the halal, haram. We have a great path ahead of us. But then, well, what do you think about this tiny matter. Well, I say this. Well, I read in some obscure book in volume number, I don't know, 500 or something, that some very obscure scholar said such and such, and you're just kind of showing off your knowledge and so forth. And then they start arguing, and it turns into division, and it wastes everybody's time, everybody gets turned off, and instead of doing what was necessary, you end up losing the plot entirely. The Prophet ﷺ says, هلك المتنطعون هلك المتنطعون هلك المتنطعون. Three times he said, ruined are the hair splitters. Hair splitters, people that just want to split hairs, people that just want to go into nitpicking and find details that there's no benefit just because they're obsessed. These people are ruined. And the final point I'll say, inshallah, about this is Imam Malik. He once said to one of his students, لا تسأل عما لا تريد فتنسى ما تريد فإنه من اشترى ما لا يحتاج إليه باع ما يحتاج إليه. He says, don't ask about things you don't really care about. And why? Because you're going to forget about the things that you should care about. You occupy all your time with the trivial stuff while neglecting what's important. Why? Because it's like somebody who purchases what he doesn't need by selling what he needs. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine somebody selling all of his food, selling his house, just so he could buy, let's say, a bunch of toys? My friend, you can't live in toys. You can't, you know, you need shelter. You can't take a shower. You know, you can't eat. You can't sustain yourself. It's useless. It's ridiculous. So, It's such a very obvious example, and yet, unfortunately, many of us, we fall into this. We are going to ask all kinds of questions about things that don't matter. Meanwhile, there's 100 things that we should be studying. So may Allah Ta'ala give us a sense of priorities. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from arguing just for the sake of arguing. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from asking trivial questions. May Allah Ta'ala help us to ask in order so that we focus on the things that are important to us and then build from there. And of course, may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make us of those who, when we ask a question, we ask sincere enough, ready to follow the truth wherever it may lead, not asking a question just for the sake of, you know, an interesting fact or just, you know, trivia. Barakallahu feekum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.